What about the Chiva?
Okay. Okay, Parshas Ve'era obviously discusses and brings about the incredible Yad Hashem in Mitzrayim through the Makkos. I want to focus on a few Nakudas over here in the sixth parasha. Very, very interesting that I've found in this week, you know, looking around. And I want to start with Makkos Sfaradeya. Makkos Sfaradeya, according to most shittas, was actually the Makkah of frogs. The Shamshafal here says Sfaradeya is the Russian of Tsafra, like morning, da, nose. Frogs make a lot of noise during the night. As soon as morning comes, they're quiet. So Sfaradeya comes from morning, nose, and knows it's morning. There seems to be a machlekes who say later on that those opinions who say that actually Sfaradeya was crocodiles. Yes, amongst. Yeah, there are many shittas that say it's crocodiles, and we'll see that actually shittas hold both. But we'll see. Pardon?
The crocodiles fit in the oven.
I think big ovens. Yeah, so we'll see. So but what we do see is it's an incredibly difficult plague. Yeah, you have to understand that, I mean, Chazal tell us that they're absolutely everywhere. They're over the furniture, over the floor, inside the food, inside the body. Yeah, the frogs actually went inside the body, they crawled in and out of the mouth. They were painful, they were frightening. Can you imagine? There's the noise of these frogs were absolutely mind-blowing. These people couldn't eat, they couldn't sleep for an entire week. They must have had a mental and physical breakdown, right? The Chazal bring down that even if you locked, you lived in a sealed room, and you couldn't completely seal everything, they broke up through the shayish, through the marble, cracked their way into the room and completely attacked you. This is something which is incredibly painful and annoying. Can you imagine the noise of these things? It's brought down later on as well that when even when the Mitzri actually cleared them up, each one they had a remote. So they piled up the dead frogs. Chamorim. How much is a chamorim? So the Medrash brings down it was 10 kor. Each Mitzri picked up 10 kor. How much is 10 kor? So each kor had 30 saw. Okay? Each saw is 144 beitzim, eggs. Every beitza is 100 gram. So in other words, 300 times 144 times 100 is 4.3 ton of frogs for every single Mitzri. That's how much they cleared up. 4.3 ton of frogs for every Mitzri. Right? This is what the amount of we're talking about. This is an incredible makkah that they had. And the noise and the mental anguish that they must have gone through is incredible. But furthermore,
I know that
the Hamikdover's Madaik here, beautiful vault. The Hamikdover says, if you look in the parasha, there's a few very very striking diyukim. When it talks about the Sfaradeya in Perikhes, Moshe Rabbeinu warns them, and in Perikhes Pasuk Zayin it says, Before that, it says, "Vatal had Sfaradeya, Vatachas Eres Mitzrayim." In Perik Zayin, Pasuk Chavov, "Yom Hashem al Moshe, Boil Paramata Elov, Koyem Hashem, Shalach Es Ami." We have to send them out to serve me. Ve'moin Atel Shuleach. If you don't do so, Hine Anoichi Noigev Es Gvalecha But Sfaradeim. I will strike your gvulim, your borders with Sfaradeim. Vesharat haya oir tsfardim, and your oir, your river will crawl with tsfardim. Va'alu ubal betecho ubachado vishkavcho va'betosecho. They'll go into your houses, into your bedrooms, into your beds. Ubeis avadech uba amecho, and to your amecho, to your nation. Uba tanarecho, and to your avos umisharisecho. That's one pasuk.
Also,
the next pasuk it says. Umisharisecho. Targum explains is uba atzvosoch. Yeah, I think it's a place where you're kneading bowls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Next pasuk says ubacho uba amcho ubachol avodecho. Yeah. Yalat fana ubacho uba amcho. Listen to this carefully. On a pasuk chofches it says tsefardim without the hay. Doesn't say hatsfardim. It says tsefardim. Yeah, frogs. Next pasuk it says ha tsfardim with a hey haidea, the unique tsfardim. Why does it change from tsfardim to a ha tsfardim? Number one. Number two, why does it say in the previous pasuk it says uba beis avadecho uba amecho, and the next pasuk it says uba amcho v'cho avadecho? It switches round Avtecho uva amecho, and the next pasuk says uva amcho lachol avadecho. Why is it switched round? Third diuk, while it says uva amecho in pasuk chavches, and pasuk chavches it says uva amcho. Amecho uva amcho. There are three diukim. So the Hamik Dovo wants to say that there are two plagues that actually took place in Mitzrayim in Makas Sephardea. They were what we know as regular Sephardim, regular frogs, and that was everywhere. That was a regular frog, Sephardim. That was everywhere. That was not unique. That wasn't so scary. That was just extremely annoying. That was Sephardim, and that was something that affected everybody. Ba'avadecho or ba'amecho, and those that went across and destroyed everybody started off by your avodim and went over to your to your am. However, the next pasuk ubacho uba amcho, amcho with a shvo, is a unique part of your nation. In other words, this is referring to a unique makkah that took place in Paro's home with you uba amcho and your nation. In other words, your people that are close to you ubachol avodecho and your avodim that are close to you. Yalu ha tzfardim, the tzfardim, the unique element of tzfardim will happen. In other words, it says the Hamik Dovah says in the Tziv that is referring to the crocodiles. In other words, he says both are right. The tzfardim spread all around the Mitzrayim, but ha tzfardim, the crocodiles applied only to ba'amcha with a shavo, the unique echelon of Mitzrayim were affected by these crocodiles. So you're dealing here with incredible amount of noise, incredible amount of suffering, and to Paro it was life-threatening. By the way, Shanshan Rafal Hirsch very strongly disagrees, and it said it could not possibly be that there are crocodiles because it would have destroyed the entire Mitzrayim, which I find very strange, because by Orov, it did get into the house, and it did survive. So I'm not sure exactly what he means over there, but there's a very, very big discussion. Some people say it was only crocodiles, some people say it's only frogs, and the Hamik Dovah with his diuk says it actually both. But let's get this clear.
If it's by crocodiles, it wouldn't be bacha in you.
Even still?
Yeah.
And frogs are also these times. Yeah. No,
crocodiles, someone said crocodiles, it could not be in you.
Yeah, I mean, if you have to, or it's very tiny crocodiles.
Yeah.
So, but that's a machlekes. Now listen to this beautiful Rashi. Rashi said, how did this makkah start? Now this is one of the most beautiful vort I've saw. He says that the pasuk says, Vatal hatzefardea. Yeah? Vitzefardea came up. So what's the pasuk say? Maybe it's Vatal hatzefardea. Says Rashi, Tzefardea achasero. There's one sephardea, for hoyomakin oiso vehi matezes nechilim ze midrashi. Now Rashi brings one pshat in the Gemara. There's actually two pshat in the Gemara. There's one pshat in the Gemara in Daf Samach Samach Zayin. Rashi carries on. Yeshleima sheres hatsan kolosh nechil. Okay, Rashi brings one pshat, but there's two machlekes in the Gemara, Rebbe Akiva and Rebbe Lezer ben Azaria. Rebbe Akiva says there was one sephardea. There was one frog that came up, and what did they do to that frog? Sorry? Vatal hat tzfardea. The tzfardea came up. There was one big, ugly, warty frog. Came up, and they hit it. And every time they hit it, the Medrash says 600 frogs jumped out from its mouth. And they hit those frogs. Another 600 frogs came out from each one of the frogs, until the entire Mitzrayim was completely covered with frogs. That is a shitta of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Lezer ben Azaria says to Rabbi Akiva, a strange lashon, he says to him, Akiva, malacha eitzel hagoda. What are you doing mixing in with Haggadah? What are you doing mixing in, dabbling in Drush? Kloch Eitzel Negoim V'Ohalus. Do me a favor, go to Negoim and Ohalus, get involved in those very, very complicated Mesechus called Negoim and Ohalus, which are the most complicated dinim of Tumah and Tahara. Go over there. What does he hold? Tzefardea Achasoysa. There was one frog. Okay, they both agree there's one frog. Ushor Kolehen. And he started yelling, rah, 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 and Ubo Kulam, they all came from all over, and they came from the whole of Mitzrayim.
Yeah, bring meeting.
Yeah? So they all came. Now, a few kashas. Number one, asked the Kerem Tzvi. He asked the Kerem Tzvi, what difference does it make if it was one frog that you hit? Yeah, or they made a big, loud announcement and brought in all the frogs. Why is he getting so upset? Akiva, yeah? What difference does it make? What practical difference does it make for us, number one? Number two, why is this? It's a little bit insensitive. Akiva, Rabbi Akiva was able to darshan every kutzah shel yud. he would be able to darshan every tiny little nakuda on the Sefer Torah. Yeah, it's not for you, right? Don't dabble in the Haggadah. Go to Nagoyim and Arlis. That's not what you say to Rabbi Akiva. This wasn't a primitive, he had no shaykhs to Haggadah. Rabbi Akiva was a godlador. Yeah? And if he is saying it to him, at least say it in order. In Mishnah, it's first Arlis and then Nagoyim. Don't say go to Nagoyim and Arlis. Right? In Mesechus and Taharis, it's first. So what's going on over here? What's he saying to him over here? So listen to this. So, Rav Ferber brings down from a Chosid Echot. He brings down, I'm not sure who this is, Rav Ferber, Tzvi Hirsch Ferber. Tzvi Hirsch Ferber was the first Manchester Rosh Hashiva. He came from Slabodka, and he became the rabbi of the West End Synagogue. A very, very phenomenal man. And he says that this. He said there was a very nakudastiga machlekus over there. There's a very deep machlekus going on over here between Rekiva and Reza ben Azariah. Rebbe Akiva held that in Makkas Sephardea there was an important message that Kodesh Baruch wanted to give across to Klal Yisrael. The message, and to everybody, the message was as follows: that Kodesh Baruch does not punish a person unless he warns them beforehand. How Kodesh Baruch gives a person a small warning. We see by Parshas Noach, before he brought the Mabul, he waited another week. Give them another chance. Give them another opportunity to do tshuva. And it was important that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave that time. There's a mission in the Tainis, the Gemara says that they saw a area of Shadofoin, of dried out Tavur, and everyone made a Tainis. So Kodesh Baruch Hu gives a warning before he gives a person the real Makkah. Says Rabbi Akiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Makkah Tzefardea wanted to warn Mitzrayim. So what did he do? He gave one big frog. And he said, Mitzrayim, I'm telling you, I'm warning you right now. You have a time to send Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Do it! Because here is this frog. If you don't do it, whoa, there's going to be millions of them. So what Rabbi Akiva was doing was explaining the Pasuk that a Talat Sephardea is a way of a Kodesh Baruch Hu to give a warning before a Makkah starts. That Talat Sephardea. Says Reza ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, do we need Makkah Sephardea for this? Go to Ohelus and Nagoyim. What's Nagoyim and Ohelus? The Rambam says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a nega. A nega tsaras is a maisa nes. It's a miracle. Why should a beggar suddenly have mitzaras on it? Why should a house have tsaras on it? Why should a person have tsaras on it? It's a dover mushuna. It's a very strange thing. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it to be ma'ira, to awaken within a person tshuva from the very that he does. Loshon hara kon to some shittas. So what he said over here was, Nagoyim is a classic example of HaKadosh Baruch Hu warns a person. First he puts it on his house, which is very distant from him. And he warns him, do tshuva. If you don't do tshuva, what happens next? It goes on a person's clothes, closer to home. And eventually it gets him more of an oinish, it goes on a person himself, it goes on his own body. That is Nagoyim. Nagoyim is a classic example of where Kodesh Baruch Hu warns and gradually punishes a person more and more. If a person does not get the message by Nagoyim, then Rahman and Islam, what happens after that, there's Ohalus. Ohalus is where a person dies, and Ohalus is all about Tumas Mace, and all about being in Rahman and Islam, not making it. There's first illness and then there's Tumas Mace. So therefore, Rebbe Akiva says a message of the frog was all about how Kodesh Baruch Hu gradually warns a person and gets into the mode of being more and more severe as time goes on. If he doesn't get the message, says Rebbe Lezer ben Azariah, Akiva, we need the Sephardea for that. Go to Arlus and go to Nagoyim and Arlus, where there's much clearer examples of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives warnings to people before he actually hits them in the strongest possible form. And that's why Nagoyim came before Arlus, because Nagoyim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu first gives a nega, and then a person HaKadosh Baruch Hu kills. So what was the message? What did Reza ben Azariah hold? The message is completely different. The message is Midah Keneged Midah. Paroi was the first one who instigated this idea of the prosecution of Klal Yisrael, the persecution of Klal Yisrael. The persecution of Klal Yisrael began by Paroi. And therefore, where is the Maggid going to start? U'becho, u'be'amcho, v'cho abadecho. It's going to start for you and your nation, everybody else. It's going to start from you. Where did you learn that from the frog? The frog was the first one. There was one frog there, and he was the one who called all the other frogs from all over to come. In other words, what do we see from there? That just as a frog was the one who influenced others to come to bring the plague, like you, Paro, he influenced others to persecute Klal Yisrael. So therefore, the message is not how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gradually does Oynesh, it's much more important message of Midah Keneged Midah. Just like Paro is the one who encouraged others, so to this frog encouraged others to come until the plague started. That was the Nekudas HaMachlekes between Rav Akiva and Rezev HaNazareh. The Midah Keneged Midah is a theme all the way through the parasha. I'll tell you a beautiful moshel at the end of the parasha. There's a vort from Dubna Magid. In the Makkos Borod, towards the end of the parasha, Perek Tes, the pasuk says, "V'ha'pishto v'as'oiro nukoso," the pishto and the se'oiro, the flax and the se'oiro, and the barley nukoso was smitten. Ki ha'se'oiro obi v'pishto givol, because they were hard. V'ha'chito v'akusemes loy nuku, but the chito and the kusemes, the wheat and the kusemes and the spelt loy nuku were not. They were not affected. Ki afila same, because they are more flexible. Okay? They're more flexible. he brings a lush and Rashi brings ma'achmul choris. They weren't yet ripe. They weren't yet ripe. They wasn't ripe at that stage. And therefore, it wasn't affected. What's this pasuk teaching us, says Dubna Magid?
And in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, so he tells us. So the pshat is that they saw her, you know, borrowed. Destroyed part of our tefillah, but we still got survival. We still had the chitta. We're nothing to worry about. That was the idea. Yeah, for another few days, and then Kosh Baruch Hu hit that. Well, that was one pshat. But Dubna Magid says a beautiful pshat. He says it brings a moshel of two beggars who are going together from place to place, trying to raise money for themselves. One of them was a very healthy-looking beggar. He was tall. He had a good physique. He was healthy, and the other beggar, Nebuch, was a broken person. He had terrible skin illnesses, and he had broken bones, and he was a real schlepper on his frame there, and Nebuch, and they're both schlepping together, and this healthy one used to tease and annoy and antagonize this young, you look at you, you're Nebuch, look at me, look at the difference between me and you. But they had this partnership, and they went everywhere together. So they came to a new town, and this small little town was drawn to these two new individuals who came, and they drew some attention to themselves. So there they were, all sitting in a tavern together, and this tall, healthy-looking beggar starts showing off about his strength and his physique. And there was a man there who said, "Hey, perfect opportunity. The chief of police have just died in town. I've taken over his position. If you're so strong, I want to have a boxing match with you. I need to prove to my people how strong I am. So let's go for a couple of rounds. You're strong. Let me prove to you how strong I am." So Nebuch is brought into this duel. No way of getting out of it. And they start fighting. And this policeman is far stronger than this guy. He breaks his nose and knocks him out. As he gets up again, he knocks him out again. And he has to prove a point. He proves his point, how strong he is compared to this guy who claims he's strong. And Nebuch, this guy is on the floor with a broken nose, bruised and battered. In the same tavern, as a new doctor came to town. And a doctor has something to prove too. He's got to show that he can take anybody and heal them. He comes to town and he sees the prime example of somebody who needs care and attention. And he sees this broken beggar, and he takes him into his home, and he gives him ointments, and he nurses him back to health with the best food, and he comes out shining and healthy, and this guy's got his broken nose and his cabbages, and you know, it's really tough stuff. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Mitzrayim, "You, Paro, are showing that you're strong. I'm just telling you, when it comes to Makos, when it comes to Makkos, if you're trying to show how strong you really are, Kadosh Baruch Hu Midah Keneged Midah will show how strong he is. And he'll destroy you. He'll destroy you. He'll show you how strong you are. But when it comes to somebody who is humble, somebody who is broken, somebody who is an onov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if that's the case, I'll help you. I'll also judge you according to what you're judging yourself, and I'll nurse you back to health." You know, the Alter Belzer Rebbe says, he said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, "Boy Shem, it's so bad, it's so schlecht. Boy Shem thinks that's bad, I'll show you what's bad." And he said to Boy Shem, it's so good. You think that's good, I'll show you what's good. HaKodesh Baruch Hu, it's Midah Keneged Midah. And a person is able to bring upon themselves wonderful, wonderful things, And the contrary, chas v'chlila, a person can bring upon themselves terrible things. There's a, in Makkos Borod as well, we find the same thing. We find by Borod, Moshe Rabbeinu over here warns in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring all the animals inside. If you look in Pasuk Tes, he warns them, now taking everything into your home, they brought it into the houses. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, I'm just telling you Mitzrayim, I'm giving you a warning over here. I'm warning you now. If you leave stuff outside, it's going to be destroyed. If you bring it into your homes, everything's going to be fine. Says Apostle, Hayores Tvar Hashem Avdei Paro, those people who fear the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Heinis Es Avodov Es Miknei Labatin, they brought everything into their homes. Now which fool is going to leave the stuff outside? Well, after Makkah, they've seen a Kodesh Baruch Hu has stuck to his word to the iota. Every little nth degree of Kodesh Baruch Hu stuck to his word. Here they can be completely destroyed. So here Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving warning, like Rabbi Kiva said beforehand, that's a derech of Kodesh Baruch Hu to give warning. Why is it over here that Hayore is to Hashem, only those people who fear the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Don't fear Kodesh Baruch Hu, be superstitious. You know what? Don't fear Kodesh Baruch Hu. But still, there's a hint, there's a good tip to bring your stuff and bring it in. What's going on over here? So listen to this Gevald de Gevald. The Kiddush Yitzchok says like this. He says that it doesn't say bring your animals inside. What the Pasuk does say is, bring it into your homes. It says bring it into a habotim, bring it into your houses. Before that, the Pasuk tells him where to bring it in. Brings it in. Vayach borod and destroyed it, but those people who didn't put it in were saved. Now listen to this carefully. Says the Kiddush Yitzchok, it didn't say bring it in side. Bring it into a place that is covered. He said, bring it where? What does it say? What word? El habatim boisa, into your homes. What's into your homes? He said, this was midah k'neged midah. Where did they graze their sheep? Where did they bring their horses to be bred? Outside the middle of nowhere. It didn't allow the Jews to go back at night to their homes. They had to sleep with the horses and with the sheep and with the donkeys and everything else. With all that smell, with all that noise, had to be there. HaKadosh Baruch said, this Makkah, even if you're trying to get away from the hailstones, I'm giving you a Makkah in your own homes. Bring the goats and the sheep and the ducks and everything into your house. And you're going to have all that smell and all that clucking and all that noise and all that manure around you as a midah k'neged midah for what you did to Klal Yisrael. So they didn't listen carefully. And they thought, as long as we bring it inside, it's fine. No. Hayore is Tvar Hashem. Brought it El Habatim. They brought it into their houses and listened to every single word. Those are the ones who got saved. Everyone else left it outside. In the pens or in the cattle pens or in Machsanim. Who knows what they had there? They were actually destroyed. So this is seeing how Kodesh Baruch Hu works midah k'neged midah. That the plague was on the batim, unless people actually brought it into their homes and actually felt what Klal Yisrael went through, were not saved. And here, Kodesh Baruch Hu again gives a warning, like we discussed beforehand, the machlekes between Rebbe Kiva and Eliezer ben Azariah, how Kodesh Baruch Hu went through the process of his plagues. A warning and midah k'neged midah. But midah k'neged midah does not only work for the bad, it works for the good too. There's an amazing pasuk. And the Gemara works itself on this. The Gemara says, Chanani Mishol v'Azariah learned a kavu chema from the Tzfaradim. And he said, if already frogs went and were moitsa nefesh, went into the fire,
even though
they weren't commanded, how much more are we commanded? Now there's a whole discussion over there in Tosis exactly why they weren't commanded. It was a chil Hashem, why they weren't commanded. Look in Tosis over there. But what we do see over here is that Chanani Mishol v'Azariah were told, wasn't Avodah Zorah, they was a situation of doing kavod shemayim. And they said, better to put us into the fire. We learn from the frogs who decided to go into the fire. We learn from them a kal v'chomer. They're not commanded, and they did Kiddush Hashem. We will do the Kiddush Hashem. That's a Gemara. asks Rabbi Yaakov Naiman and other Mefarshim, he doesn't understand how he learned from frogs. Frogs had a command to go into the ovens. The Pasuk says very clearly they'll go into the ovens, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded them to go into the ovens. Chanal v'Shozari were not commanded to go into the ovens. So how can you learn from a frog who's commanded to go into the ovens to Chanal v'Shozari who are not commanded to go into the ovens? They're not Kal v'Chaima. How do you learn the Kal v'Chaima? The Kal v'Chaima has a picha, has off to it. The logic is wrong. They had a command and they didn't have the command. Answers of Yaakov Naiman: the frogs did not have a command on an individual basis. They had the command as the frogs themselves within the species have the command. In other words, he's got this frog who is jumping into Paro's palace. This croaking little green thing. Jumping into Paro's palace. And he's passing through the royal bedroom where it has luxury linens and a comfortable duvet. Yeah, with beautiful pastel colours. And he can say, Hinni muchon mazuman lekai mitzvahs boiri, and I'm going to go and be mekai in the mitzvah of, and go into your bedroom. And he's mekai in the mitzvah. The Pasuk says he's going to be in the bedroom, he's mekai in the mitzvah. Another one, I'm going to be mekai in the mitzvah by being in all around the houses. One of them said, I'm not interested. And there's a limited amount of Bechira over here. I'll discuss it with the Talmud Chacham, what Bechira they had. But there's a limited amount of Bechira. He said, no. I'm not interested in this. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to be the one who jumps into the fire. I'm going to be the one who's Mekai in the tzivui of jumping into the fire. Although I'm not commanded on me, I am not passing the buck. I am taking the opportunity, seizing that right of being the one to Mekai Shein Shemayim, and I'm going to go into the fire. And that's what they did. They passed by all the luxury, and everyone else said, you see, Frumma, what are you doing? Be the kind of mitzvah here, it's comfortable here, it's on this beautiful linen, it's staying warm. Are you going into the fire? No, I'm going into the tunnel, I'm going into the fire. And they went into the fire. And Chanani Meshav Azari learned the Kal v'Chaimer from them. That although they weren't commanded per se, per person to go in, when you see an opportunity of Kiddush Hashem, grab it, don't pass the buck. Don't pass it on to somebody else. What happened in the end to these frogs? The Kliyoka brings down. It says at the end, all the frogs died. And the Pasuk says, Vaimusu in Perichas Pasuk Tes, Vaimusu had Sfardim and Abotim and Chatzerusim and Asodis. All the frogs in the houses from the Chatzerus and Asodis died. Asked Kliyoka, why does the Pasuk have to be so specific where they died from? Just say they died. The terrorist is, they died from these places. But those that went to the ovens, didn't die. Those old Mesa Nefesh, didn't die. They climbed out of the oven alive. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu was midda keneged midda. You put yourself out for me, I'll put myself out for you. And all these laughing frogs beforehand, who were mocking these extra frum frogs, going into the fire, at the end of it, those ones came out and saw the dead frogs in these big piles, dead on the side. That's midah keneged midah. That's a koyach of a person who is moser nefesh. But I'll finish off with one very important thought. According to Rabbi Akiva, the plague was because they hit this frog. Says the Stipler, what would have happened if they would have made a decree that anyone who hits this frog is going to be put into jail for a year? So you'd have had this very big frog jumping up and down, and it would have never been a plague. Only because you hit it, more frogs came out. And it hit those frogs, more frogs came out. You actually created a plague for yourself. Why was it? Why did Kodesh Baruch Hu not bring millions of frogs in the first place? Why have one frog? And that you're creating a plague for yourself. Kodesh Baruch Hu is teaching us a message over here. That very often, if you just allow things to pass over, to blow over, and ignore them, and don't act, and don't react, then a plague just passes by itself. Most plagues happen because a person brings it upon themselves. How many marriages, how many partnerships, how many friendships break up because there's an action and a reaction, an action and a reaction, and at the end of the day, Rahman al-Islam, families break up and children suffer. And why? Because how dare he speak to me like that? How dare this frog jump up and down in front of me? Hit it! More frogs, more chutzpah! Hit again, chutzpah, hit more and more! And you create for yourself a plague that is so self-destructing. But your ego is more important than your mind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing us, if you just let it go, then it's annoying for right now, but you're not going to create a plague for yourself. This is this week's parasha. This week's parasha is a concept of an understanding that things are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives makos, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it gradually. If you get the message, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will withdraw, he won't go further. And that's what we learn from the frogs, we learn from Orlois, we learn it from the Goyim. We learn the idea that in Midah Keneged Midah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu works in Midah Keneged Midah, and that is the concept that we saw before in the Dubna Magid's Marshal. That if a person feels that they're strong, and he feels that he's able to challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu will challenge him. If we are an Onov, and we have another, I leave it to you, I have no problem with what you're doing, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have problems with us either. And finally, the concept over here that we discussed was there's often a person actually creates problems for himself. If a person just allows things to wash over and to blow over, there is an incredible amount of Satur Shmai he gets. I just really want one very quick story. I heard this from somebody who actually heard a Maisa from the story of the family happened. There were two neighbors who had a very serious falling out. And there's an action, and there's a reaction, and there's a fight, and it was something that grew to proportions that the family had a serious row, and they involved not only the parents, they involved the children, and the children, you know, they had nothing to do with the other children. It became a very, very serious family feud, to an extent that everyone knew that these families were warring with each other. And they decided enough is enough. One of them decided, I'm going to make a stop to this. This is not chinuch, this is not derech Hashem, this is not derecher derech chinoyam, mechol nesiv eseo shalom. I've got to stop this. I've got to do something about this. And she went to her friend and said, I've got to ask you forgiveness. I've got to stop this. And her friend said, you're right. This is ridiculous. We've got to stop. So he said, what should we do? How are we going to do this? He said, you know what? My daughter's getting married in this date. I'm going to invite you and your husband and all the children to the wedding. And everyone will see in town, in Yerushalayim and everywhere we live, how friendly we are with each other. We'll dance together at the chasna. And people will see from there how wonderful our relationships are. And we'll see that the feud is over, that the fight is over. He said, I'd love to come. What's the date? So you're joking. That date? My brother's getting married on that day. I can't possibly come. Big Nisoy, what do you do now? He said, you know, if that's the case, let's change the date. Let's put it for a week later. And they phone up the hall and they change the date to a week later. That night that they were supposed to originally have got married was a night that somebody else took the booking, and that was when the Versailles Hall collapsed with deaths of many people in Yerushalayim. Do you remember that? In Talpiot?
Yes,
they had this built with a certain very weak floor, and it collapsed and all these people died. And that family was supposed to be in that hall that night, and because of this middah of shalom, because of this middah of going against the natural tendencies of the ego, and they stepped back and said, this is crazy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went middah keneg middah and saved them, the Chol Nesiv HaSeir Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them from a tragedy. This is this week's parasha. Action and reaction can only create more of a plague. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should all give us shalom be'ez Hashem, and should be able to bring upon ourselves only wonderful and good things.
Today's Wednesday.
I usually do it on TV.